Good morning. Today I have the honor of introducing our chapel speaker. I spoke Spanish with him for more than 2 minutes, which means that my brain may actually just translate everything I'm saying into Spanish, and you guys will understand, so bear with me. But today we have Pastor Gilberto Corredera. He has been part of the pastoral team of Prestonwood Baptist Church since 2010. He is the leader of Prestonwood en Español, which has developed to include 2 locations and a weekly TV show on Telemundo Dallas. Pastor Gilberto has a great passion for reaching people who do not know the gospel and has dedicated the last 20 years of his life to preaching the gospel, planting churches, and training leaders. Before moving to the United States, he served as vice president of Evangelismo Explosivo, or Evangelism Explosion International, in Cuba. Under his leadership, the Great Commission has been taken beyond North Texas, and Prestonwood en Español has led several mission trips both in the United States and in Latin America. Please join me in welcoming Pastor Gilberto Corredera.
Somebody told me that I had to turn it off. On. Now you hear me? Well, what a great introduction. I think it's nothing about me, it's about the Lord, okay? I'm Cuban, so as you hear a weird accent, it's because I'm Cuban. For many of you, it's like Sofia Vergara, you know, speaking Spanish and English. But let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Word of God. As you have your Bible, you can turn it on in your phone or open up your Bible. But every year, I was telling Dr. Kramer that every year I try to start my year reading books. And one of the books that I love to read, my first book in a year, every year, is a book about prayer. So I find any book about prayer, because what I want to do every year is have a fresh a prayer life. You know, prayer is the time that you spend with the Lord, you know, and sometimes you don't speak. Just you let the Lord talk to you, and you hear him, and you're with him, right? So this year, I start reading a book on prayer who really changed a little bit the way that I'm praying. And what I want to share with you now is 4 priorities in your prayer life and your practices that maybe can use you guys as the next generation to change a lot of things around us. You can learn a lot about people when you hear them pray. You know, a lot of prayer service in churches, really, I'm a pastor, is we are asking things for us, like, you know, open the door, give me that provisions, food, health. As you go back to all people prayer services, it's like going to the doctor. Somebody's praying for a leg, and somebody is praying for the lungs, and somebody's praying for the heart, somebody's praying for the size, you know. But let me tell you this. I will share with you today in John 17. As you can open your Bible, or turn your phone, whatever, John 17. And I don't want to read the whole passage because, you know, maybe you are familiar with this. But since you are not familiar with this, in John 17, what we have is the Lord's Prayer. And let me be honest with you. I think this is the real Lord's Prayer. Why? Because what we call the Lord's Prayer is our Heavenly Father, who are in heaven. And one of the part of that prayer is forgive our trespasses. And, you know, Jesus Christ never prayed that prayer because he never has sinned. So the real prayer that the Lord's prayed was this John 17 one. And in John 17, he was in the final lap in his ministry in earth. Are you following me? He's about to leave. He's about to be crucified. And he's praying not just for him. He's praying for you and for me. Are you familiar with that prayer, John 17? Raise your hand, please. So he's praying, and he's praying to the Father, and he's asking for 4 priorities, 4 prayer requests that can be our priorities and also our practices. John 17, the Lord is praying like this. Are you following me? Verse 17, chapter 17, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lift up his eyes on heaven and say, he's praying now, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son might glorify you. Stop right there. What is the first prayer request? What is the first priority that he's praying for? The glory of God. You can mark your Bible. You can write it down. Let me tell you this. In this chapter, you will find the glory of God, of the glorification of the Son, many times repeated. Christ is praying about the glory of God. Let me tell you this. What about if we start praying every single day and practicing intentional things that help us to give glory to God with everything that we do? Sometimes we do so many things. But I want to ask you this question. How many of these things that we do are really, really, really for the glory of the Lord? Life has more meaning when it's about the Lord, it's not about me. So he's praying and say, I want your glory. I want your glory. So are you praying every day, Lord, how can I give you glory today? How can I give you glory today? At the school, at the street, at the lunch time, at the break time, even in my prayer life. So the number one priority that I saw in this prayer is Christ was about the glory of his Father. What happened is we start praying and acting for the glory of the Lord in everything that we do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. And let me tell you, you know why he was praying for it? Because it's hard and requires prayer. It's a supernatural thing, seeing a human being, a sinner, living for the glory of God. How many of you know that requires prayer? Because if you are not intentional, it will not happen. We want to live for us. Number two. As you go down a little bit in verse 9 and 11, he's asking for another things, another prayer request. Verse 9 and 11. Now he start praying for them. Who are them? The disciples. And you know what he's praying now? Father, I want you to make them one. Go down to verse 11. What is his prayer request now? And you know the prayer, right? He says that they can be one so that the world know that you send me. What is he praying about now? The second thing that he's praying to the Father is the unity of the believers, the unity of Christians, the unity of the church, the unity of the body of disciples, because in that unity is power. Because according to the Bible, we have different gifts. We have different gifts. When we put our gifts together, now we can represent the body of the Lord that can bring glory to the Lord. So this is the thing. We are living in times that division is raising up more than ever. Social media. Go to Twitter and follow great church leaders. You know what they're doing? Go to Twitter, follow that. Social media. People are fighting in social media for so many things. You go to the street and you see people dividing themselves. I want to be this, I want to be like that. Let me tell you this. The secret of the witness of the church is the unity of the church. Is we are united. And let me tell you this. Requires a lot of prayers. Requires a lot of prayer because we are selfish. I want to establish my kingdom, not his kingdom. I want to do it my way, not your way. So when two great leaders get together and say, no, I don't want to do it like this, I want to do it like that, so that brings disunity. Sometimes what you think is not what I'm thinking, so we cannot work any longer together. And you know what happened? We need to pray every single day, Lord, we need to be united. Doesn't matter the color of your skin, where you're coming from, where is your accent, where you grow up, how old are you? Let me tell you this. This is for the old generation right here. We need you alongside of this generation. Sometimes the division is between generations because you don't get it. They have a earring. They have tattoos and they have long hairs. And we say, they're weird. You're weird too. I'm in the middle. But what do we need? We need you guys. But you need them because you don't know how to turn a phone. You don't know how to work in the social media world. You know how to design. When you present a PowerPoint, look like... You know who do my PowerPoints? 19 years old lady from my church. So this is what I want to say. And she told me, Pastor, let me help you out. The unity in us will potential us to do the work that God is calling us to do. So first priority is the glory of who? The glory of God. Number two, the unity of the believers. Cross generation, cross race, cross culture, we need to be united. Third, let me share with you. John 17:17. Now he says, another thing that I think is needed in our times. You know what it says? Sanctify them through your word. The word is true. What now is praying for? Sanctification. The sanctification. Write this down. Sanctification of the believers. What is sanctification, Pastor? That is a weird word. Sanctification is simple. It's the process that God is working in your life that starts the day that you receive Christ. The sanctification is spiritual growth. We cannot be more babies, spiritual babies forever. And Christ is praying them, sanctify them in your word. Because the only way that we can grow is when we know this. Let me tell you this. We have to pray and put as a priority our time in this word. Because the time in the word will help us to be stronger Christians. You know, with all the construction of the faith that we have going on. If you don't know the word, you will never grow. And your faith will be so weak that you never, ever will be what God wants you to be. If you don't spend time in the word to grow in your faith, to be transformed by Christ. Yesterday, I was in a counseling session with a guy who for 45 years was married. And his wife passed by through COVID. In January. That was 57 days that we go hospital with him. We pray. It was a long journey. And after 45 years of marriage, he's missing her a lot. He talk like her, think like her, smell like her. And when I was finishing that, they say, this is what 45 years walking close to someone can change your life. Let me tell you this. If you start walking with the Word of God every day, in 45 years, you will look a lot like Christ. So he's praying for it. And he's saying, God, Sanctify them. We need to pray. We need to be intentional. And let me give you the last one. The last prayer request that we have here. And I think it's the last prayer request that he have is in verse 18. Verse 18 says, as you send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. What he's praying for now? For the mission of God. He's about to leave. And he's saying to them, Lord, I am asking you that you send them and you empower them and you protect them and you use them when they're sent to the world. We need to pray every single day for the mission of God that can be accomplished. And you are on a mission. So you have to pray to be sent every day. You have to be intentional. You have to put it at a priority and say, Lord, as you send Christ, send me today. And sometimes, you know what? You don't have to be in a plane to be reaching Cubans. We have so many here in Dallas. Everywhere that you go, maybe you have the nation now here where we are. Four things that Christ was praying there. And I want to share with you this. Make this your priority, your prayer requests, and your practices. Number one, the glory of God. Look deep in your heart. Every time that you're doing things, even when we do projects that look that they're for God, sometimes can be for our ego. It's time to start praying, God, help us to do it for your glory. Number two, the unity of the church, of the body. Maybe you're different than me, brother, but I need you in my life. Maybe you were this. I don't have hair. I can't, you know, but I need you in my life. Maybe I'm different. I'm different. I speak English different. I dress different. But I want to be in your life. The unity of the church will build a stronger people. Number three, we need to grow in the faith. And the only way is spending time in the Word. Today, more than ever, we have Bibles in all kind of expression, phones, everything, videos. But you know that today, more than ever, people are reading less and less and less the Bible, and people know less and less and less about the Bible. We need to pray that the sanctification of the believers will be a reality because we spend time in the Word. And lastly, let's pray that God can use us for His mission. Wherever we are, every morning, say, God, I want to be in your mission. I want to pray for you guys. But I want you to pray for me. I want to give you like 30 seconds to pray for me. Pray for me. I want to live this in my life. I don't want to preach it. I want to practice it. If you want it in your life, let's pray together. Let's bow your head. Father, we want to pray like Jesus. We want to prioritize what He prioritized. We want to live for Your glory. We want to be united. We want to be in Your Word that we can grow and be more like You every day. And we want to be on the mission that You designed for us. Help us. Help us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Oops. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Gilberto. Grateful for that word, that encouragement. We're going to have a time where students are able to ask you some questions.
I tried to preach long enough that you don't have time for questions, but I always have something right there.
Well, yeah, we do have time, and we're excited to hear from you. I'll start us off, and then Claire is running around with the mic. So you talked about the importance of prayer and described for us some topics to be praying for based on Jesus's prayer in John 17. Can you break down for us just what prayer looks like in your own life, how you're able to cultivate that in the midst of the busyness of life, how you're able to cultivate a lifestyle of prayer?
I will tell you this. I started ministry very early in life. My first mission field was 18 years old. A crazy pastor who believed in me gave me the opportunity to go with him. And when I started preaching in that mission field, I realized very early in life that I was stepping in a difficult zone. It's trying to convince people about sin and salvation through Christ. That is nothing that you can do. So this is when I learned, unless that God do this, I am a mess. So prayer for me is almost a need, because every time that I step in my life, I step in things like, for example, next Saturday, we are launching our third campus. For a guy who came from Cuba 12 years ago, thinking that we are in TV campuses and doing all this, if you don't do it with prayer, nothing happened. So let me tell you this, guys. You have to step in life in challenges that will require God intervention. And this is what you've realized: I need prayer. Because if you got it, you can handle it. You can do it. But prayer for me is that, and how my life looked like, I wake up early, and if you don't wake up early, wait till you get old. I used to like to sleep, but now I'm getting old. Wake up early, usually 5:30 in the morning. And the first things that I do is I turn my Bible. And now I have a Bible that I want to hear. So waking up, listening to the Bible, and I do a Cuban coffee. And I go to a rocking chair that I have with my wife. And this is my first prayer time every morning. A Cuban coffee prayer time. So we pray. And after that, I have a personal list of prayer that I have it. So I go through that list every single day. And a professor of the seminary teach me that you have to have breaks of prayer. And I love it. So when you go to lunch or when you are driving, sometimes I, you know, don't have anything going on in my car, just me and the Lord talking. And that for me is exciting. And sometimes I have time, honestly, to fasting. I don't know, maybe you don't hear. Now, how do you call it? Intermittent fasting to weight loss. That is good, but it's good to be with the Lord just to hear from him. And sometimes, let me tell you this, prayer is not sometimes about what you want to say to the Lord. It's more about be quiet and ask the Lord what you want to tell me. Because sometimes we think it's prayer is, I don't have nothing to say. Well, maybe that is a good time. Let the Lord say you what he wanted to do. It's like you're opening an agenda and white. Say, what do you want me to do?
That's a good word. That's helpful. Raise your hand if you have a question, and Claire will bring you the mic. Anna in the middle.
Thank you for speaking today. I guess one of my questions is, you mentioned cross-cultural, like reaching cross cultures. How do you facilitate that in your own life, maybe in your own church body? And I guess, like, what have you learned? Sorry, it keeps on the frequency, but yeah, I don't know if that...
What's your name again?
Annalisa.
Annalisa. Okay. Great question. Cross-cultural has to be intentional. And we have three kinds of people in this room and around the world. The ignorance, that they don't know that other culture exists, and they think all the Hispanic-speaking eat tacos and chiles and everything, so it's because they don't care. So there's nothing that you can do about it. Number two, the interest people. The people who have interest, that they go on a mission trip, that they want to know more about another culture. These people are good because we can help them to know more because they have interest, right? And number three, the intentional people. The intentional people is the people that are trying to see how I will be more cross-cultural in my life, in my ministry. So what I do is every time that I meet with someone, I can tell who I have in front of me. As an ignorant, he thinks like Cuba is a state of Mexico. I don't know. So this is hard because they live in their bubble, honestly. You know, number two, I'm talking to people and thinking, okay, oh, these people have interest. He want to be in a mission trip. He want to know more about my culture. He want to know about my... So these people are good because they're in a spot that you can help them to be more intentional. And the intentional is just facilitate opportunities. This is what I do. I don't know if that help you.
It's great.
So who you are? Who are you? What are you now? So I'm sorry.
Nate, question? Is Claire passing the mic? As she passes it, I'll let Nate ask his question in just a second. But to piggyback off of that question, you alluded to in your sermon the fact that there are many Cubans and plenty of others from around the world coming to us, especially in a city like DFW. At the same time, from your introduction, we learned that you have helped take the Great Commission outside of DFW and even outside of the States. How do you, as a pastor, even as an individual, find a balance between the need to go and take the gospel out and the need to be faithful wherever we are?
Well, I think it's a simultaneously, and you will find people have the calling to stay and help here. Some people have the calling to go out, because I think his mission is a calling for some people. God is a mission. So God is a mission here across the state and also around the world. His mission. So what I'm doing is trying to find out different opportunities for different people that have different callings. So some people who want to serve locally. So we have a lot of opportunity. Like last Friday, Saturday, we have Welcome to Texas breakfast. We do this every 2 months. It's with people, for people who are coming from other countries or from another state, that they want to learn about the state, about life here. And honestly, we are helping people to open banking accounts, how to get get out of debt, how to, you know, so it's serving in the community to people who are coming, but at the same time, people who are here for a long time, like me, that have a passion for the word, every time that you say, you have an opportunity to go back to the country to serve and plant churches and help others, they say, I want to be part of it. So I think it's having the Great Commission, I think it's having Acts 8:1 in front of us, from Jerusalem to Samaria, Judea, to the end of the world, you know, giving these opportunities to people. And so many of you say, I want to go out. Some people say, no, I want to serve you. They need this around the world.
That's good. Thank you. Nate?
Did you become a Christian in Cuba or shortly after?
Well, that's a great question. I became a Christian in Cuba, in a communist country. My mom was a member of the Communist Party. She worked for Fidel Castro. Okay? My dad was an alcoholic. So I don't have any Christian background in my own family. And my mom, I remember growing up as a kid, my mom don't allow me to play with another friend that I had, Fran, because he go to the Catholic Church. So that is how strong communism was in my time. I born in 76. So 76 was, all Cuba was Russian cards, Russian names. My first name is Livan, it's Livan. That is a Russian name. So, and even in that, let me tell you this, living in that, communism cannot stop the Church of Christ. Amen. No, because the Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But it's hard. Yeah, I became a Christian in Cuba when I was almost 18 years old. A friend of mine gave me a New Testament in secret and started reading it, and I visited a small church. And the church, we don't have any electronics or lights or emotional things. I was 18 years old here. if you do student ministry, and you think is the student ministry need light school staff to be under conviction of the Holy Spirit, I'm here to tell you, no. They need the power of the Holy Spirit under a tree, under an ugly building. When the Holy Spirit is working, I get convicted of my sin. In a communist country, in a small church with an old lady playing the piano. But yeah, I became a Christian in Cuba.
Amen. It's a powerful story. Yes, let's pass the mic right back to him.
Thank you for preaching today. So one thing that's been really on my heart lately is I have a clear vision of what I'm going to do ministry-wise. And I was talking with my mentor, and he's pushing me to get a bigger vision of like what life will look like family, career, so on and so forth. So my question is, what would you recommend as I get ready to fast or prepare for a fast or even decide to fast to get a clear vision from God of what it is that he needs me to do?
Okay, that is a great question. So you're looking for guidance. Let's go to the Bible. God is an interesting God. God lead us sometimes. What is your name again?
Ethan.
Ethan. What is your name?
Nate.
Okay, Ethan. God guide us one step at a time and many times. I never dreamed 10 years ago, 12 years ago, that I would be sharing with you guys. It's an honor for me. Let me tell you this. Being on TV, preaching, planting churches, training leaders, I never dreamed that big picture 12 years ago. God lead us one step at a time. So you fast, you pray, but let God lead your path. Remember when he called Abraham? He never told Abraham the whole step that he will took to build for him a great nation, a land. He said, first step, lead your family, follow me. So when he called Peter, he said, follow me, I will make you fisher of men. He never knew the dimension that one day he will get the key of the kingdom, will be the preacher of the first sermon. So don't worry about for what you will be doing in 10 years. Worry about, think about what want you to be doing next hour, today, and tomorrow. That is my experience. And a great book that I read long time ago is Experiencing God. Do you ever read that book? Go through that. How many old people here, raise your hands if you've been in the, raise your hand, please. Help them to understand that this is a great book. Did you read it? And how was it? It's how God is, he gives 7 steps that help you realize that God is always working. He will invite you to what he wanted you to do. You will make a step of faith. You have to make some, adjustment in your life, and you participate with him, and you learn, and you go back again to the circle. Experience God, Henry Blackaby. It's a good one. I don't know. What do you think?
It got the Dr. Creamer seal of approval as well.
Yeah, good.
Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. Another question before we wrap up? Yes, pass the mic right back.
I love
y'all
this
are making
chapel.
It easy.
No one is doing this.
Hello? Okay, hi. I have a question. So, did you start reading the Bible and praying to God? When you learned to speak English, was that difficult? Did you start to read the Bible in English to help with your English? Or did or were you fluent before?
Till today, I don't read my Bible in English. Never. I think it's different for different people. But I think I get more from the Bible when I read it in my own language. It's like my heart language. The only time that I use my Bible in English is when I have to preach in English. But really, I never read in 13 years. I don't speak English when I came, so I learned to speak English here as I go. But no, I never read my Bible in English. But I don't know, maybe others who came in from other countries have a different experience, but
So is it difficult preaching in English?
It is. I'm a different preacher in English than in Spanish. For sure. I have to think and think in the words and everything. And when I'm preaching in Spanish, it's more a little bit from my heart than from my mind.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, we can't tell that it's different. We still, we're encouraged by your word today. I'm going to ask one more question, and as I do, I'll ask the worship team to come up, and they'll lead us in our final song. So as you came in, you saw constitutions on the table. It is Constitution Day. Hope that you grabbed one. You can grab one on your way out. But it is also, importantly, Hispanic Latino Heritage Month, and you mentioned in your sermon, yeah, we need each other. Really, yep, grateful for the word that you shared. Would you have any recommendations for our students of any Hispanic scholars, theologians, pastors to listen to, read, anything that we can learn from, in addition to checking out Crescentwood and Espanol?
No, I don't have anything in English. So, well, I want to make a confession here. You are not recording this, right? I don't know why a Hispanic Heritage celebration, really. And I think it's because so many people came from Hispanic-speaking countries, they celebrate that, but I didn't get it yet, okay? I celebrated it because everything that had to be with party, I'm ready for it. But what I'm thinking when I look back on this, look this. How many congressmen, sport figures, even for good or for bad, singers, movie stars are immigrants from Hispanic-speaking countries. You can go to the Congress and you will find people like Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz. There, I know Ted Cruz's father. He's a good friend of mine. He came from Cuba when he was 18 years old. He learned to speak English like me. And he raised a guy with Christian values who now is in Congress. I met Lala Monet, the lady who came from Cuba because persecution in Cuba. Her son is a congressman for Virginia. So what we bring to the table and the sports, if you play sports, if you like baseball, baseball is full of us. The major leagues are full of Dominican, Venezuelans, and we cheer them. We don't know where they are, like they're coming from, like, you know, Beltre, Hall of Fame, Posh Rodriguez. So we have these names, like, you know, in the movies, like, you know. So I think it's the richness of our culture, and let me tell you this, is the values, you know, the Hispanic values are family, and marriage, church is a value for us. And in the elections time, let me go through this, Hispanic will defend family, will defend life in the womb, will defend what is marriage really. So we have some values that we bring from our country that can help a little bit.
Amen. Really grateful for.
And a figure word that you can hear in Spanish, I don't know. Go to, you know. Well, we have great historian like Justo Gonzalez. If you want to know about story of the church, we have. Nobody came to my mind right now that I'm reading a lot. But follow me.
We certainly
love you guys.
Will.
Follow Christ. It's been a blessing for me to be here.
Amen. Can you all thank him one more time?
You made me feel
us
younger. You made me feel like.
They make you feel younger. They make me feel older because I often feel very out of touch with them, but you're better at connecting with them than I am. So grateful for you sharing with us. Let me pray for you, for our students, and we'll close in worship. Father, thank you for this opportunity we've had to hear from Gilberto. Pray that you will bless him, his marriage, his ministry. Father, that it will all be for your glory. Thank you for how you have blessed them in their expanding reach of their ministry. Ask that you will continue to do so, not for their name, not for our name, Lord, but for your kingdom to be advanced, for more people to know and confess that you are Lord. Thank you for our students. Pray that you'll bless them as they go outside of these walls to take the gospel wherever you would send them. May we be faithful to you, faithful to respond to your love to us. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.